Parshas Vayera. Vayera Elov Hashem Beiloni Mamre, and Hashem appeared to Avram in Eloni Mamre, who Yeshiv Pesach Oil Kachem Ayoim. He was sitting by the entrance to his tent by the heat of the day. Vayera Elov Levaker Esach Oil, to do Biker Chaylim. That's why Hashem was by him. Now, you don't find that he necessarily spoke to him, right? Just as he's sitting there, and then all of a sudden he sees the Malachim and Vachulu, the whole story. You don't find necessarily that Hashem spoke to him. So, Rashi technically really says the end of the first Rashi, Uvakash Baruch Hu B'Shal B'Shleima, which does seem to say, like, he did speak to him, but again, Pashas, you don't see in the Pesukim that he spoke to him. So, the Kehilas Moshe says that's actually how, from the fact that there is no speech, that's how Rashi knew that it was Bikur Chaylim. Why? Because one is actually not supposed to speak to a Chayla, because it might cause him to get agitated. And yet, if you walk in and the guy's just after surgery or whatever, and you start, even just the simple, how are you? But for sure, if you get into, oh, was it a heart surgery or whatever, it can agitate the guy, even from just trying to get the energy together to speak. So one has to know that you don't necessarily need to speak in order to be mekayim biker chaylim. Reb Chaim Kanevsky declares if someone's a vegetable, someone's in a comatose state, if you're mekayim. But definitely the side of being yes Mekayim would be that the point that you came, what would a vegetable help, or what would it help if he's sleeping? Because when he wakes up and he finds out that you were there, that'll make him feel good, that people care about him. That's more what he wants. We don't need, if you would have needed to be there, if he would have needed someone to watch over the proceedings, you would have been called before. Now, again, yeah, you know, whatever. Sometimes it is helpful, maybe if he needs a blanket or something like that, whatever. But just because we want all the good gory details, that's not necessarily Biker Chaylim. That might be Biker Atzmi, so something that you're checking in on yourself, you know, where you're holding. But for him, he just wants to feel taken care of. So it could be that you don't even have to speak to him in order to be Mekayim. Exactly. We don't need a what's called. Now, happens to be the Sefer Haredim and the Rashbats, who is a Rishon, does say that Dibur Yafal L'Chaylim, it's good for them, it keeps them going or whatever, you know. So it does seem like there's a little bit to do about this. Now, what about over a telephone? So Reb Chaim Kanevsky says that you could be Mekayim L'Adei a telephone. Reb Moshe says, although we find the telephone sometimes in Halacha might work, but then again, just like in those places in Halacha, it's not necessarily the best. So to buy Biker Chaylim, it works, but Avada, if you could go, then in order to Mekayim Biker Chaylim, maybe one should actually go as opposed to using the telephone. Okay, interesting. They asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky that we know generally the aspects and components that one needs to do to put into the mitzvah can be counted also. So should one climb up the 9 flights of stairs or take the elevator? So he said, for a man, you should take the elevator. Use the rest of the time to learn Torah. But for a lady, maybe in a chanami, you know. Shabbos is a place that it could come up that, you know, you got to take, what's it called, my... I know, yeah. You think they used to climb the stairs? Yeah, I know your Shabbos could be very negeya. I was, what's it called, my brother-in-law had a baby 2.5 months early, and I walked the Shari Tzedek hospital and then climbed up nine big flights of stairs. So, you know, get up from make the Shalom Zachar, you know. But yeah, but if it's not Shabbos, then go ahead and take the elevator. Now, as far as these malachim, so there's actually a very interesting Rambam, the Radak apparently learns like this also, that all these stories that we see about malachim here with the guests, with Hagar and Parshas Lecha by the well, with where she ran away from Sarah, and in this week with Yishmael and Yaakov with the Sari Shal Esav, all of those, the Rambam learns that was all a dream. All those were dreams. The Ramban over here in this week's parsha goes very, very stark against his halacha. The Rambam, he says, so for one of his questions, so what's the whole thing with Sarah laughing and Hashem getting Avram against what, that all happened in a dream? He said that's one of his big questions. He says, Avada not, Avada this really happened. Now good, there's still machlokes whether in, let's say for instance this, were they real people or were they malachim? But it for sure happened. That's no question. Okay, fine. Putting that on the side. Fine. Okay. Mamre, Beiloni Mamre. Why Rashi says why is it being called Beiloni Mamre? So he says, Hushanasan le Eitzala Milafikach Nigo Bechalke. Since Mamre gave the Eitza for the Bismillah, now of course Avram didn't care what anyone said. Hashem told Avram make a mila, made a mila, but it was more that Mamre was like, oh yes, I support you in this. In other words, like he was of one mind with such a sound mind with such a thing. So that's called like as if he gave the Eitzah. But of course, Chas V'Shalom Avram wasn't looking for opinions, whether she threw or not. And therefore he was Zeicha, and it came in his Chelik. Now the question is, Avram really was living in Mamre already. And yet this sounds like, oh, Mamre gave the Eitzah, so now Hashem's going to come down. So one can say from over here that this is a big Yisait for life, that perhaps, maybe the fact that Hashem was going to come there, so that's why Hashem had Avram living there. Hashem put Avram there so that the Mila will happen there and the Eitzah will be there, so that Hashem will have excuse to come there. We've mentioned this, he said in another parsha before, that in other words, for instance, then when this happened, this wasn't, when I heard this share, wasn't too long after the Nebuch, the Sassoon family got killed in the over Hanukkah in Brooklyn, them and their seven kids. There was a, oh, if only they wouldn't have gone to America for Hanukkah, though. Maybe Punkfakar. Hashem needed, for some reason, wanted them to go up to Shemayim from in America. So he made this whole excuse of this whole trip and this whole thing of them in order to get them there. Similarly, and this is a very, very big thing in life. How do you know that oh, if I would have done this, then this wouldn't have happened? No. The thing had to happen. And maybe that's cool for why Hashem let this out. So too. Avram was living there from the end of Lech Lecha, so he could have the Mila there so that Hashem could come to Mamre. Maybe that's how it is. We have to learn to look at things through Hashem's eyes, not just through our own eyes. Okay. Kliyokar gives a different answer that he was living in one part of Mamre, and because of Mamre himself saying, oh, I agree with this, Hashem went, let's say, I guess in like the whole city or something like that. You know, Hashem brought his Shekhinah to the whole city, perhaps. Okay. Fine. Right? It says Avram ran. Avram ran. Now, how is he able to run? He has a major surgery, 99 years old. It's a third day. It's the worst. How is he all of a sudden able to run? So the Chafetz Chaim answers that's the Vayar two times, right? It says, Vayisa ain't if he lifted his eyes. Vayar and he saw Vini Shleisha and Ashma. There were three people Nitzavim Alav standing. Vayar and he saw Vayar Tzlikrasam. So what's the double Vayar? So it's saying he saw the Malachim and he got better. Almost like, let's say, by Har Sinai, that Hashem was Megal himself and they all got better. So he saw the Malachim and they got better. And then Memela, now he's able to go ahead and run to bring them in. Okay, so the parsha goes on with right, Avram said a little bit, he ended up doing a lot, yukachna mat mayim, wash your feet, I'll take bread, and then he goes ahead and serves a whole suda. The Torah is very myrich over here with the ches of Avram. It goes through like each every aspect, and the Gemara's learned many, many things from this. Hey, yes, Yishmael was helping him as well, according to the Mepharshim, according to Chazal. And the Gemara goes into when Avram did something by himself, then Hashem gave things to Klal Yisrael by themselves. But if Avram sent something through a messenger, then Hashem said, oh, now I'm going to give this through a messenger. Why is everything, Avram is the Amud HaChesed, why is everything being learned from here? Especially that it's questionable whether Avram was actually Mekayim Achnas Tzarchim with this. If they wouldn't, might have been Malachim, who says he's really being Mekayim? If they know or not. But that this should be the Shvitz. We know Avram had a hotel called Eshel. He had a tree, Eshel, all the famous stories that people used to come in. Thank you, Avram. No, thank Hashem. Where's all that? Why is this it? Why is this it? So they answer, because this is to show us that this was Avram's most painful experience. That he was just after the Mila and still he pushed himself to go ahead and do all this chesed. That's why this is the one that we have to emulate and we want to look at and we want to examine each part and each thing to learn from it. That in the most pain, look what Avram was able to put out. That's why the Torah pushes such a story. Azei Zakhtar B'Shalem Azamen. Okay. Now, Sarah left, right? She heard about the... she heard about the Malach saying that she's going to have the kid, and Sarah left. Now, first of all, the Ramban says a beautiful pshat. So I don't get it exactly, the whole Pashta story, that did she think Avram, she's trying to lie to Avram, that she did laugh, she didn't laugh, what's going on? So he says very interestingly that, and not only that, he says also, is it so bad that she didn't believe? She's 90 years old, never had a kid. She, according to Chazal, she didn't have a womb. So, can we really place the fault on her? That she didn't believe? Why is this becoming such a big deal? So you know what the Ramban says? Of course, we could forgive such a thing. But you know what can't be forgiven? That she didn't think that there's a possibility. Says the Ramban, she should have said, Amen Kein Yaseh Hashem. Maybe the hope is there. Maybe the hope is there. That's what she should have said. And she didn't have that. Since she didn't have that, that's the problem. If someone's living, let's say, destitute, they have absolutely no money, and some crazy mishugana old guy comes along and starts saying, you're going to have money, you're going to have this, you're going to have that, you might chuckle, but at least have in mind that, Tashem, there's no difference whether you won the lottery or not. Sarah should have had in mind, it doesn't... I don't know whether this is a legitimate person or not. I don't know if this is a malach or not. But Tashem, it doesn't make a difference whether I ever had a kid or not, whether I have the kalim to have a kid. That should make it, at least leave that little avenue open. And seemingly the Torah catches on her level as if she closed that avenue. As if she closed the possibility in her mind. That's where the problem is. That's a lesson for us. That we always have to have these possibilities open. Then let's go. I think the Briskerov used to say to the what's it called? To the rich guy, what's the difference between you and a poor man? And say the difference is that you think you have money in a bank account, and the poor man knows he doesn't have money in a bank account. But there's bets of no difference. Tomorrow you might both wake up with no money in your bank account, and ultimately you're both relying on Hashem. Right? So over here, you have to keep the possibly open for Hashem. Now, other terutzim. Now, first of all, how come Avram didn't tell Sarah? Avram heard about this. When their names got changed, Avram was told this. He even gets told that Sarah's changed. He probably told Sarah, your name's changed. But why didn't he tell Sarah that they're going to have a baby? Why does he have to keep it in suspense and then have this whole story that hiding it from Sarah, she laughs, she doesn't laugh. Just tell her. Why didn't he tell her? So a couple of possibilities. That first of all, the Ramban says that Hashem didn't tell Avram to say. It was Hashem's secret, and especially with Hashem, you have to know whether you're supposed to say over or not. This is agav a lesson for us, that if we're told a secret, then we have to keep a secret. It's not a very partial thing when someone tells us a secret. They tell us a secret because they think we're going to keep it. Rabban answers another answer that if you think about it, it just sort of went on. Avram was dealing with the Mila, and then pretty much right away these Malachim came, so it's almost like there was no time to take care of it. The Radak says a very interesting answer. Avram did tell her. And the Malach came to be mechazikit. Like, this is really going to happen. So what's the laughing? The laughing is that Yishmael was standing right there. And he wanted, Sarah didn't want Yishmael to make like an ayin hara of sorts. Like, uh-oh, here comes another kid. No, I want to like bash out that kid. So she laughed to try to show, crazy old man. In other words, to show Yishmael, like, don't get ideas, don't worry, there won't be another kid. She was worried that Yishmael would start becoming rebellious or who knows what. The tying on her was, Hashem said, you shouldn't have worried. You have to worry what some Meshuggah 13-year-old is thinking. We're dealing with the future of Klal Yisrael over here. You shouldn't have been scared and worried. Nice mahalach from the Radak.
Well, when Avram was first told that it would happen, did he know necessarily that it was going to be the son?
So Hagufa, he said, Hashem said, I'm going to give you a kid from Sarah. And he said, what about Yishmael? He said, don't worry, Yishmael, I'll make a Ganeshan also. But no, Bedafka, I'm going to give you Yitzchak through Sarah. Bedafka, give you Yitzchak through Sarah. Yeah, correct. Correct. It does get pointed out, Avram, what do you mean? He had a kid at 86. It's not such a big nace that Yitzchak came out. It was more Sarah. We'll talk about more next week. Whatever, he told us. When I mentioned more about Avram and Yitzchak, we'll talk about that there. But yeah. Yeah, well, we're at 14. In other words, Shmuel was 13 by the Rismila, and then Yitzchak was born the next year. So we're 14 years old. Okay. Why did the Malach overturning Sidoim have to come here? Why do you have to come here? Because he can get lost from the group? Like, what is he doing here? Three's a nice number. So Reb Chatzko Bramsky says that in order to properly destroy Sidoim, the riches of Sidoim, first you have to see the tzidkas of Avram in order to properly appreciate the riches of Sidoim. It's like something, you know, a yomtiv, where the Klai Yisrael used to get the Ruach HaKodesh. They used to be Shayif. That's what happened by Yoina HaNavi. Yoina HaNavi got the Nevuah by. It was during yomtiv time. During yomtiv, the Beis Hamikdash was full of a Ruach HaKodesh flying around. Yeah, that's what when we see Gedolim. When we see Gedolim, take it in. That creates a spirit on us. Then we can go back to regular life and properly make the proper decisions.
Are you going to talk about future shalom?
No, we'll mention something about that. Avram said, I'll give you a little bit of water. Well, I mean, good. So, Marva Atva Se Harbe, but Lamaisa, I mean, everyone knows that Avram does everything. The Revach, well, why do you say give it only a little bit? So, the Bali Musar say that because he was going to do Daidei Ashliach, so he didn't want to be a Matriach. In other words, own up to your words. If you want to get a lot of water, you get a lot of water. But don't tell someone, oh, bring a lot of water. Come on, more. Hurry up there. That's not nice. Reb Shon Shadron says, think about it. If you come into my house, here's 10 towels to wash yourself up. That's not nice. You make the guy think that he's dirty and whatever. That's not nice. So he said, I'm going to bring you a little bit. Avad, he brought them a lot to probably wash himself up or not. He said, I'll bring you a little bit of dust for your feet. You know, because obviously that was the main thing in those days. But to say, don't worry, I'll bring you a whole basin. We got to speak nice. We got to think about the other person when we are, what's called. So too, for instance, a Rebbe to a Talmud, or maybe a boss to a worker, they'll say like, oh, maybe, you know, there's a little bit to fix up. Even if there's a lot of bit to fix up. Say, you know, like, you know, don't show that you realize everything. Don't let the other person know that you realize everything wrong. Say, you know, here's a little bit, and hopefully then they'll be able to take a lot out of it. Interesting thing. It says, it's called take kemach soilas, right? So we know that really Avram said soilas. Soilas is the much finer, better flour. And Sarah said kemach. No, I don't want it to be flour as fine. So the Gemara says, mikan she'isha tzari now ba'archam yisminish. The Gemara says, you see that a woman's more worried about having the guest more than the man. Right? Because Sarah is saying, no, I don't want to give such good quality. And Avram is saying, no, give the best quality. Lamaisa, the Metzias is that the woman's always looking, you know, when there are guests, she always needs to keep cooking and cooking and cooking and cooking. The man's saying, don't worry about it. Come on. Who needs so much? Just a little bit of chalent and that's it. Who needs anything else, right? So what's that? So Chassam Sofer said, Eino Chanami. Yes. When the guests are coming, of course, then they need to give a lot. Memela, they don't want to start it off in the first place. Avram was saying, oh, Malachim are here, let's give sales. Sarah was saying, Kemach, not because, of course she would have given sales when the guests are actually coming. She was trying to say, I don't want to deal with all the work. I don't want to have to deal with the multitude of guests. Of course, when the guests come, she's going to put out her best effort and do 10 times more than the man. But it's we have to think about what the wife actually wants going into it and make sure that she's on board also with all the Arachim. As far as what you're saying about Yishma helping out, so it says, Ben Bakar Vayitain Elanar Vayimahir La Asoy Soy Soy, and he hurried to do it. What's it? Seemingly, if you're referring to all the cows, it should have said he hurried to do them. So one Tartar answer is that, okay, it means each individual cow that he dealt with, he set up. But the Marad Niskin says, very interesting, you flip it around. It's almost as if it says Vayimahir Oysoy La Asoy. Because we know, like Rav Jerry said before, Chazal say it's referring to Yishma. Yishma also had a bris milah. So Avram was he was a little bit slow. So Avram was saying, no, let's hurry up. This is a big mitzvah, anachas arachim. So that's why he's saying it. That, not by Maher Lassay, he's saying you hurry to do it, but rather, he was hurrying him to do. Avram was trying to give Yishma a little bit of chizuk. Come on, let's go. We could do it. No, he was 13. Yitzchak was the first who was on the 8th day. Yeah. In the sixth parsha. Yeah, the sixth parsha, then the parsha. Fine. Avram says, "Anochi offer va'efer." Why? Why is he picking those necessarily as the things to compare himself to? So a lot of the Bali Mosar say, dirt is something that previously it's nothing, but in the future it goes to something. It helps. It grows. Ashes are the exact opposite. Ashes, they started off as something, and now they're ashes, and they go on to being nothing. So he was saying that Anoichi Afar Va'efer, in other words, that I am likened to nothing but nothing but nothing. I'm likened to Afar as far as the past, that dirt is nothing in the past. And I'm likened to Afar in the future, that Afar is not worth anything in the future. Right? Again, you know, why didn't he just say one thing? Why didn't he either say dust or ashes? It's because they have properties on either side of them, at least. He was saying, no, I'm the lowly properties of both. Everything, and again, obviously, like we know, the Midas HaNova doesn't mean that you're nothing. It means that nothing is because of me. Everything is because of Hashem. Everything's to be attributed to Hashem. Now, Agav, because of this that we're bringing out, that Ofer used to be nothing but turns into something, and Ofer used to be something but turns into nothing, so that Mida Kenegi Mida, Beis Halevi says, it says that from because of Avram's statement, we were zeicha to the Ofer Saita, to the mitzvah Saita that we have dirt is dropped in, and that the Par Aduma gets turned into ashes. Why? Because the Ofer Para, which generally ashes, is now nothing from here on. So because he lowered himself to that status, Hashem said, I'm going to give you ashes that from here on it's going to be something, right? When does the ashes do something for you by the Par Aduma? Only from here on. So since he said he's nothing from here on, he gave Par Aduma, which from here on will do something. And the dirt is the exact opposite, that the dirt, we're saying, used to be nothing. So now the dirt is going to come and be something retroactively. Why? Because it's going to come show from Saito what used to be retroactively. So again, each thing, because he lowered himself to the nothing of those properties, Hashem made it that those properties now became something. The dirt, which used to be nothing, now became something for the Saito previously. And the ashes, which used to go on to nothing, now they're going on to something for the Afer, the ashes of the Par Aduma. Okay. Loit asked that one of the cities should be saved, right? Soyar. Right? A whole cheshbon or Rashi, why it makes sense that it, because it's a year behind, they don't have as many Averis. Lamaisa, what's shot over here? If it's supposed to be destroyed, it's supposed to be destroyed. If it's not supposed to be destroyed, it's not supposed to be destroyed. What's the whole back and forth between Loit and the Malachim? So Ramban says very interestingly that the Malachim knew that it was in a status that if it would be davened for, then it could be saved. Very, very interesting thing that just because, oh, destroy all five. Make sure, who knows? You could almost say that it's almost like Avram got up to Davin. I'm destroying Sidon. Avram still tried to get up and see what I could do. Right? That was his power over Noach. Noach didn't really Davin for his dar. He just decided it was over. Avram decided maybe it's not over. Here, who says it's over? And sure enough, it wasn't over for the right then. You have to know what happened exactly, that then Loit ended up leaving Tsar, and that's when he ran to the mountains. What happened there? I thought he was going to stay there. Because I'll say, then he got too scared, Lamaisa, maybe it is too close and not a good idea, but at least the idea is there. Okay. Now it says that, right, so Loit gets saved from Sidon. The Lashon is that when Sidon is being destroyed, it says Vayizkar, Hashem remembered Loit to pull him out, right? Vayizkar Elikimus Avram, Vayishalach es Loit mitecha afecha. What did he remember Loit? Mazkir Rosh Hashal Avram, says Rashi. Nizkar shayo Loit yedea shesar ishtosh Avram. Loit knew the truth about Sarah, the wife of Avram, and he hears that Avram is saying Achaisihi, and yet he kept quiet. Big deal. This is his sister. Is he crazy? Is Loit going to say anything? Why is he being lauded and praised for the fact that he didn't turn in his sister to the Egyptians? That he didn't turn in his brother-in-law to the Egyptians? What's going on over here? Why is this such a big thing? So the Nachas Yaakov says, because Lamaisa, if... Second. With Avram's story, what's going to happen? He knows that they're going to take Sarah and they're going to violate Sarah by taking her to Pare. So Lloyd, as a brother, should have spoken up. I want to protect my sister from having this happen. And still he was quiet and trusted that Avram knew what he was doing. That's a very big thing. So now we're saying, right, we were questioning his brotherly love in the question. But now in the answer, Hagufo, we do see that the brotherly love was being challenged, and yet he kept quiet. A similar answer is the Sisacham answers that Avram Gufa got rich because, Sarah's my sister. Lloyd could have spoken up and say, by the way, yeah, figuratively he's the sister, because really it's his niece, that's beautiful. She's really my sister, I should get all the money. And he didn't do that. He didn't do that. That's why he got remembered for the good. Okay, a Maisa that Igros Maisha brings down, a scary Maisa actually. Benois Lloyd, right? So they both have kids from Lloyd, their father. One name's Amon, one name's Mayav. So he brings down a story that in Luban, right, where Ramesha lived, in the beginning of the winter of about 100 years ago, in 98 years ago, in Tofresh Pebes, so I guess that's in 1922, there was someone who was based on his deathbed, and he called Ramesha. And he says, last week, Parshas Vayera, I thought to myself, B'nai Slait are so disgusting, the whole story, and then they go ahead and give names, what's going on over here, who do they think they are? Lamaisa, I received a dream. Two late covered ladies came to me. And they said they are the daughters of light. And they heard what happened. In Shemaim, they were able to hear that tainas were being made against them. And they came to answer his tainas. And they say that since of this fellow who said, isn't it a disgusting thing what they did with their father Lloyd? So they said, since we are Mishpachas Avram and we were saved in the Nase of Sidaim, we could have told the whole world, a miracle pregnancy, a son of God. We could have started a new religion, just like the Christians did. So in order to take away from anyone thinking that how could they have gotten pregnant, no one in their right mind at those times had relations with their father. No daughter did such a thing with their father. Everyone would have believed them, like what, a hand to food in the mouth, would have believed them right away that son of God, new religion, where did these kids come from? Must be new religion.
How long after someone's destroyed that they get pregnant with
them? Right away.
So it could have been that they were with someone who had gotten destroyed.
Oh, I hear. Okay, interesting. Maybe. This is what they were saying, that they could have pulled off, and they bedafka gave names. Okay, one daughter obviously gave a little more explicit than the other. Maya, from my father, Amin ben Ami. Gufa to show, no, this is from a man, this is from our father, and this is not, what's it called, and this is not some new religion. Because they did that, that's why there's zeicha for Mashiach to come out of them. That's why their gufa zeicha for Mashiach to come out of them, because they protected Hashem's, how Hashem works. And this, and they said, you have been chayte echayt gadol, and Mimela, just like you spoke Lashon Hara against us, just like the Miraculum, you're going to die Misa Mashona. And sure enough, right after this Maisa, this fellow died. So, which is very interesting, first of all, how to think about the characters in the Torah. Secondly, this shows us that the Torah is not just a nice children's bedtime storybook. There are so many lessons in everything, even what seems like the bad, the mundane, the unmeaningful. See how deep that is, that they have good intentions. Good, of course. We have to learn the bad ways from it to stay away from. But how there could be good in everything and what they're doing, and that Mashiach taka comes from them. Okay, a little bit of a calculation question. It says that so next that Yitzchak was born.
It's the pronunciation. Yitzchak is born.
A full time later from that which Hashem said. It's famous medrash, because when the Malachim came, they scratched the line on the wall and they said, when the sun comes back to this line next year, that's when the baby will be born. I don't understand. I thought that the solar year is 365 days. And we go by the Jewish year. So it wasn't 365 days. It was either 354, or if it was a leap year, then it was 380-something. So how would the sun have hit exactly? So someone wants to answer. The Chassam Sefer says, true. So Hashem, or whoever, the Malach, made the line and said, when the sun hits here, he didn't make it that, oh, let's look, the sun shadows here, let's draw it right here. No, he made the line wherever the sun's here. Here's the line right here. When the sun's line hits here next year, of course it's not exact. It'll be 11 days shorter, actually, in the solar year. So that's why that works. Yitzchak asks on the way to the Akedah, Ayeh Asela Oila. Why does he wait till the middle of the story? Why doesn't he say as we're going, hello, Dad, aren't we bringing a carbon? What's going on over here? Why does he wait until it's just both of them going, and then just Avram and Yitzchak, then he finally asks? So Reb Chatzkel says a big yesite. If you want to know the truth about something, don't ask it to the person you're asking it from in front of other people. He might not give you the right answer. He might just be giving an answer to push you off. I've seen this happen with people before, with Chashuv people before, with Rabbanim before, with Rashi Yeshiva before. You always have to know if a question asked this public is being given the right answer. Now you find this in Gemara's Amal also. Sometimes a maskil, someone bad could have said something to a gadol, so he answers. The Gemara says afterwards, that really isn't the real answer, it was just to push him off. So that's why Yitzchak waited, just him and Avram. Okay, so now where's the sheep? Okay, now he's able to get a straight answer, and we can handle what's going on. It says that Avram built the Mizbeach. I don't have the question. I get it could be the we're coming to answer. Why didn't Yitzchak help him? I'm not sure. Whatever it is, over here I have written that the Taz and the Medrash say that Avram had put Yitzchak in a box, I guess carrying him on the way, or maybe at some point, so that the Yitzhar would not be able to put a blemish on Yitzchak and make him unfit for a carbon. And the Eli Rabbah says, from here is a remez that we cover the shofar on the bima until we're ready to blow it. On Rosh Hashanah, we leave it covered on the bima, just like Yitzchak, which the aisle, the ram, is in place of him. So that's why we cover it. Now, Rav Shach has a whole beautiful shtickle tire. I think it brings it down from Marl Diskin. He basically says as follows. One of the questions that he comes to answer is that how amazing the Akedah was. Why is it so amazing? Why is it the biggest test? Hashem told him to do it. What's the big deal? So he had a contradiction? Big deal. Hashem told him to do it. So it says like this. What's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and all the other Nevi'im? So the way, coming from the Rambam, and the way it gets explained, and the way Rav Shach explains it, and then my Rebbe explained it with the following mashal, pretend like go back to the days of a radio, right? You could have extremely clear radio, and then you can have, as you get further away, or you're in a different bad area, it's fuzzy, you sort of make out the words. As you're further away, even fuzzier, you can get to a place where it's extremely fuzzy, you're barely making out words, and your job, at the end of the day, you might all come out with the same words, you might not. That's the difference. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was aspaklayer mi'ira. It was clear. It was coming clear straight over, and he understood exactly 1,000,000,000%. There was no suffix what to do. Avram was not on the same level. Neither was any navi as Moshe. It was unclear. That's how it came over. In order to be a proper navi, you had to know and hope you had the correct kelim, the correct provisions in yourself to know how to translate it correctly. That's why the Akedah was the biggest thing. Says the Yetzirah, says the Satan, following him for 3 days. You silly man, you crazy fellow. Anyways, all these years you've been going against the whole world, Avraham Ivri. Now you totally lost your bunkers. You have millions, hundreds of Talmidim that you preach about Chesed in the world. And Hashem told you Yitzchak is going to be. And now you hear a fuzzy radio. And you make up that you have it right, that go shechtim. Do you really think that that's what it said? You totally touched it up wrong. That's what he heard badgering for 72 hours straight. That's what he heard. You're crazy. You're retarded. If he would have heard it, if we assume that he would have heard it straight, then of course we don't care. It would be hard. Okay. What do you want? Go away, Yitzhar. The Nisayan was that Avram had to think to himself, no, I trust in my Ruchnius that I knew how to correctly translate this Nevuah that is the correct Nevuah and that this is what Hashem wants from me. That's scary. That's scary. That's an amazing thing that Avram actually stuck to that. That's why it's such a powerful thing that Avram actually Taka went ahead and listened to. And was able to go through.
Had that come to him in a dream?
Huh?
Was that in a dream?
It was, no. It was a nevuah like any other nevuah that he got in his life, which was there's only a certain level that it could be. Fuzzy radio. It's his job to touch it upright. And with the satan going against him for 72 hours, there's only so much that we'd be able to hold on to such a thing. And yet, Baruch Hashem, he was able to hold on. With all the tears and contradictions, he knew about them. But especially when someone else comes to you, the strongest man in the world, the Yitzhahara, comes to you and says, you touched it up wrong. He had to think, no, I know I'm right.
So his nevuah, it was like a feeling that he just kind of heard it and felt, because Hashem didn't speak to him directly.
Whatever it means Hashem spoke to him directly, it was a fuzzy directly. Moshe had a straight. Every other Navi that we know of never had a straight. It was always fuzzy. By the time you get to the way, 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 way later Nevi'im, it was almost like even more harder for them to touch it up. And yet, Baruch Hashem, all the ones that we see in Navi, they did it correctly. They did do. Hey, Zechariah, we're going to lay on Hanukkah. Ma Toraya, what do you see? I don't know what I see. What do you mean? You see a menorah. What's the big deal? What does it represent? I don't know. The whole basis of these things are because they didn't see it. They didn't know if they're seeing it correct or not. It's fuzzy. They needed help.
It was like a vision. Because like Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi that was spoken to like and with a voice.
Exactly.
Other than the VM, they.
You have to know exactly what it was. You have to know. You have to know. You have to know. You have to know. The pasuk just said, "La Moira Shadibur Yisrael Kim." Hashem spoke to Avram. Yeah, you have to know. But Bisparim Sarmat says Hashem speaks to Avram. Okay, but there's a machas at Taka. It's not necessarily. You have to know exactly what all these mean exactly. Well, of course, that any time they had to explain a nevuah to themselves, that was always they always challenged themselves. Oh, let me make sure I'm right. Once he decided.
It just couldn't make sense to him.
Exactly. But yet, he knew, Baruch Hashem, that he got it, and this is what to go forward with. Now, as far as what you're saying, exactly. The Medrash says, Omar Avram, a fire sikhasi. Abishter, you told me, Kib Yitzchak Yikar El Chazora, with Yitzchak, you're going to be kids. And now you tell me, go Shechtim. When did he ask this question? When do we think he should have asked this question? Right away! No? Right away. Contradiction. How do you tell me? No. After the entire story, after the whole build-up of what's called Yechidcha, Asher Haftes, Yitzchak, the whole build-up, the whole 3 days, the whole Yitzhar badgering him, the whole story, the whole thing. Now he gets up. Now's the time to wake up the contradiction. Who cares?
Before he was stopped or after he was stopped?
After he was stopped, after the whole story. After the whole story. What's the point now? Why didn't he ask it before? Says Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, there are those in Klal Yisrael who say that we can't ask questions learning Gemara, can't ask questions on Tosfos, and then they go ask other questions, they have it all wrong. We can't ask questions on the Torah. We can ask questions in the Torah. Meaning, it's you have to know, some Rishonim say otherwise, but Pashtus if you think about it. Did Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, the Shvatim, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron, did they have the whole Torah as we know it written in front of us? You would think yes. But I'll tell you why not. And again, some Rishonim support this. How would they have done the Chataim? How would Moshe have hit the rock if he saw, oh, Moshe's going to hit the rock and not go into Eretz Yisrael? Okay, so you could say good servant. A little hard to hear. The Shvatim probably would not have sent Yosef down to Mitzrayim and started the whole fight if they would have seen it beforehand in the Torah. They had Torah, they had mitzvahs, they had what to work on, they had the world to work on. It says Avram Avinu Zakav Yeshiva Shiva, he had obviously what to learn his whole life. Yitzchak Yaakov Avinu Torah, he had what to learn his whole life. We learned about learning at night from Yaakov Avinu, the Rambam says. But Pashtus, they didn't see the exact words of the Torah as we have it. So therefore, when Hashem gave the commandment, go shecht. Now, 1 second, what's the answer? What's the answer to that question? Hashem says to him at the end of the day, what do you mean? It's not a contradiction. I never told you to shecht him. I told you bring him up, which he did. Bring him up as an oila. Now, until Hashem said that, for Avram to ask the contradiction would have been a question on the Torah. Now, true, again, Hashem never contradicted himself, but as far as the Torah that Avram had so far, if Avram would have been writing the Torah in order as each passing happened, okay, Kibitzel Klar Azar, the next day, Halel Oila. Okay, there's no answer yet of bring up no Shech, so Avram's not allowed to ask. We are servants. It's not our business to ask on the Torah why, how come, in the doing, in the service. What about after the whole thing? Like we said before, what's the point even of asking now? Avram Avinu Zaken V'yesha V'yeshiva. Avram's mitzvah learning Torah was, and our mitzvah learning Torah is, to learn each thing to the deepest ability that we are personally able to. Avram said, story? I finished the story what I was supposed to do. I brought him up, I stopped, I got my promise from Hashem that he'll never get angry, he'll remember Yitzhak always. But now I have a mitzvah to learn Torah. I have a contradiction, right? Learning the Gemara, you just learned the whole Parak HaYashin, right? I have a contradiction. It says this one place, says this another place, we have to resolve it. You're trying to just work it out halacha ma'isa? No, you're trying to learn Torah. Trying to, so that's what Avram said. That's what Avram was doing. Now I have to learn Torah. It's a kibitzcha kol razara. I has a shtim with valeyu. Hashem said, and for the Gemara, I didn't say shachteyu, I said haleyu. Beautiful answer. Beautiful answer. It was a shtick of Torah. It was a kin mesechtashir. That's what it was. It wasn't a watzko. That's why it's a beautiful piece. Of course we're supposed to ask questions while we're learning. We have to remember though, we don't ask on Hashem why. We don't ask questions on the Torah. On the Torah means we don't ask questions on Hashem. But in the Torah, trying to understand, of course we have to. Okay, just a couple things that we always make sure to mention. The Reb Chaim Kineski says that there are many questions when Avram's Mila was, Memela, when's the third day, when is this Maisa happening? Most people learn that this Maisa with Malachim was Erev Pesach, and then Loit was Pesach night, that's why there were matzahs, it's beautiful. There are others who learn that they're what's called, they're Befer Shazachin, that say Avram's bris might have been Rosh Hashanah. There are things that say Avram's bris might have been on Yom Kippur. Maybe as I went to come out, this story is basically happening on Sukkot. There's a Taisus that says basically it could have been, this was on Sukkot. Akoponim, the Medrash in Bamidbar says Avram made them a sukkah. From the Pasuk of Yishanu Tachaso 8, sit under the wood. Here's a sukkah. Reb Chaim Kanevsky says that, not only that, it was detached. It was wood that was detached because Avraham Avinu was a Chaim called Tarakula, and there was Taka Sukkah there. The Paitan in Yoitzris, on the second day of Sukkot, at the beginning of Chazar Sashatz, Shwein Esrei, it says over there words that say, basically, one second. The words here, one second. What does it say? Let's see. Second, let me get it.
It's once a week, isn't it? Yes, you want to map. Yes, you want to
It's not in here. Forget about Babakitza, that's where it is. At the beginning of Chazar Sashatz of second day. In Shachris. That's what it says. And he says that Avram was, Reb Chaim Kanevsky continues, that Avram Batsim started sitting inside Kichay Mayim. He was mitzdar, someone whose pain is Pater Menasuka. So he was sitting inside. And then not only that, but Batsim, when what's it called? The Avram was saying to the Malachim, Kial Kenam Ratam Al Avdachem, Batsim, you're traveling. And travelers are also Pater Menasuka. But Lamaisa, it says that if it's not so hard to turn out with a sukkah, then they should go sit in a sukkah. So Mel Avram said, I have a sukkah right here. You got to come sit in a sukkah. So Mel, they taka sat in the sukkah and ate. Okay, I'm not finding this right now. One more thing, Reb Jerry, you said about Eishes Loitz. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, he brings a picture to Reb Elazar that every single day, oxen lick at her until her fingertips, whatever this means, and in the morning she grows. And the Radal is Masbir on the Perkei Reb Elazar that, because Melach is Mashma, that it's a Nitziv Melach is Mashma, that it's like a constantly growing salt substance, and therefore that's why that happens. But it's interesting, he says that. Right. The Ramban explains that because looking at what's the shot in it? Because looking at such a destructive matziv, she memela turned into that destruction. She was looking at Gufres Eishmashmais, that's why she turned into some sort of substance like that. Because when you look at such a destructive matziv, it's trying to be nimshach. Good, now we know because she was asking for the salt, that's why the punishment, but that's what he explains. Reb Chaim Kanievsky says very interestingly that if someone would take salt from here, he'd be potter from Meiser because it doesn't grow from the ground. It grows constantly back from her feet or whatever, from her fingertips. It's not really growing from the ground. It would be just like mushrooms that grow from the air. So too, this is not growing from the ground. And he says, maybe this is the salt that Esav. We know Esav was asking Yitzchak, oh, do you take Meiser from salt or not? And everyone wonders, well, what's going on exactly? Chaim Kanievsky says, perhaps it was this salt that never really grows from the ground. It was just that it turned into it and constantly regenerated off itself from the air. A guten Shabbos.